Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are beginning a sermon series which will take us all the way through 1 Corinthians this year. In so doing, we will have a much better understanding of what the church is and how the church functions in this world and in our personal lives. After all, 1 Corinthians is a pretty good manual for the church. It was written to a group of believers in ecclesia, or assembly, which we translate as church, that Paul had brought together in the Greek city of Corinth. However, 1 Corinthians also offers a good understanding for us today of what it means to be church. And so today, we will start from the beginning both of the book and of our theology of the church by answering the question, what is the church? So we start off with the salutation, verses 1 and 2. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And so verse 2 explains exactly what it means to be a church, or what it means to be the church. So we talk about who we are in Christ Jesus. The church is sanctified in Christ Jesus. And to be sanctified means to be made holy. It comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy, which is the title for one of our liturgical songs. To be sanctified means to be made holy. And how is it that we are made holy? In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says that such sinners were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so being sanctified or made holy is not something that you do for yourself. It's not something that you do that makes you holy. Instead, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who makes you holy. It is by his death on the cross that he makes you holy by forgiving your sins. We weren't holy to begin with before entering the church. Christ makes us holy when he calls us into his church. And that gets us into the second point of what it means to be church. In, again from verse 2, that we are called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And so, as we said, we are sanctified or made holy. Another term for being holy is saint. Saints are holy people. Now, when we think about saints, typically we think about special saints like the apostles, St. John or St. Luke or St. Matthew, or we just passed Christmas, St. Nicholas, who was a holy bishop in Turkey. But really, we are all saints. Paul isn't just writing this to a select group of special holy people. No, he is writing this to everyone in the church who is a saint who is made holy, not because of anything they do, but because of Christ. What makes one a saint is something outside themselves. In our Old Testament reading, it starts off, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name." We are made holy by being called by Christ. God has called us together here in this church, and we are saints. By our own nature, we are sinful. But Christ takes those sins away. And so Christ is the one who, through the Holy Spirit, makes us holy and pure. So that is who we are, sanctified, made holy, saints of God. But Paul is not just talking to one small group. The church is larger than just the dozen or so people here today. We are not the only ones who are called to be saints. We aren't the only church out there. Again, verse 2, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. That includes all believers. All those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior who have been called by Christ and who themselves call upon the name of Jesus, all people who believe are saints. All people who believe are the church. So we pray for some of these believers all around the world every week, our partner churches around the world, our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. All of them are united with us in one church. But even more than remembering our partner churches, even more than remembering persecuted Christians in Sudan and Iraq, we also need to keep in mind that God has called more people to be his disciples, to be his saints, in this place, in McFarland, in Waubonsie County, in Kansas, than just those who are part of this church today. All people that he has called are his church. In John 10, verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Christ calls more than just us to be one flock with one shepherd who is Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 7, John sees a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, all of whom are one church called together in Christ's name. The church, the saints of God, is far greater than just those within these four walls. So the church is called by God. The church is made holy by God. The church is gathered together by God from everywhere. And so it is God who keeps the church together. After all, God is the one who creates faith in us. He is also the one who sustains that faith. In 1 John 2, John says, "You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge." God gives us his Holy Spirit, who works through his word to sustain faith in us and to strengthen that faith in us. Through his gifts, he sustains the church faithful to the end. In Deuteronomy 7, Moses says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God is faithful and keeps his people. He keeps his covenant to his people to all generations. And these gifts of word and sacrament, God's word, which is spoken and written, the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, gathering together in his name, all of these things strengthen and nourish faith, keeping the church faithful to her Lord and Savior eternally, so that the church is enriched by God's word. God gives us his word so that it sustains our faith, so that it strengthens our faith. It calls us together. It keeps us together. So the church is not a purely human institution. The church is not a place where personal preference dominates. The church is not simply a social club of like-minded individuals, but the church is the very presence of God on earth. The church is God's people, called out of the world by God's Holy Spirit. The church is God's people, sanctified and made holy by the action of God in and through them. The church is God's people, set apart as his saints, not because of anything we do ourselves, but because God chose us and made us holy through Christ's death. The church is us and all those who are called by God and gathered together into this congregation. But the church is so much more than just us. It is all believers, those on the other side of the globe, those in America, those in our own church body, and it also includes all those just outside our doors whom God has also called and whom he uses us to gather together into his people. So as we talk about the mission of the church, as we talk about what it means to be church, we need to keep in mind exactly what the church is. It's not about us. It is about the work of God in and through us in this place. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.